You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is a gorgeous but incredibly cold, supposedly spring Monday afternoon. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm awesome. But it's not only just a beautiful, cold day. It is your birthday, sir.
Oh, shit.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
You didn't know where I was going.
I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you were going to talk about your bracket or something. I didn't know where we were going with that.
I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yes.
Yes.
I am officially older, but that's good. Thank you, man.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 2:30. Stay tuned for this, because at 2:30, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville will be calling into the show. So we'll get Coach on the show. We're going to talk about things. You know, he's a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He also sits on the subcommittee for readiness. And so I want to talk with him about where we are right now, because the state of the world is getting more frisky by the moment, if you know what I mean. And where are we right now in terms of readiness? What are we going to do? He's been taking some bold steps to lash out at the Secretary of Defense for woke policies. And so, yeah, we'll talk to Senator Tommy Tuberville at 2:30. Stay tuned for that one. Then at 3:30, Will Blakely, he's a reporter with 1819 News. He broke two stories about major wokeness in the curriculum at the universities of Auburn and Alabama. Yeah, right here at our flagships, two biggest universities in the state, one of which is the State University. And you'll be shocked to find out the kind of things that are, you know, being funded with tuition and taxpayer dollars, I might add. All right, then all that to say, that's at 3:30, by the way, with Will Blakely. And then we got a super-duper triple-dipper. Hit it, bud.
The triple-dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple-dipper. Three stories, three themes you got to know as we run today's show. So the first one, I'm calling it Fit to Fight. We do this periodically where we look at the state of readiness for our military. How are we doing? And we're going to have that conversation with Coach Tuberville, Senator Tuberville. I guess I call him Coach. And then at the same time, we're going to transition from there into discussions about world events, reasons why we have to be ready, and what things might be standing in the way. So Fit to Fight, number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, I'm calling it Higher Wokeness. Higher Wokeness. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff out there right now in the university system, not the least of which are those two articles I told you that we're going to talk to Will Blakely from 1819 News about. Deep wokeness in our university systems. Like, wow. Like, look, do they even like teaching in America? Because you wouldn't know it by the curriculum you see in some places. So, yeah, number two on the triple dipper, higher wokeness. And then number three, you heard it over the news, it totally changed my plans. I had an entirely different dipper plan for today, and I put that one aside. Political prosecution. Yeah, this whole nut roll of a job, of the situation we've got with the Soros-backed district attorney from Manhattan is bringing charges against the former president of the United States, Donald Trump. This is the most jacked-up situation to political prosecution I think I've ever seen, and I thought I'd seen a few. But we'll talk about it. Number three on the Triple Dipper later in the show, political prosecution. And there's a lot of news just developing on that one even as we speak. All right, but let me step aside from politics. Let me open my monologue here. By saying that, aside from it being my birthday, thank you, Boomer, aside from it being my birthday, today is March 20th, 2023, and 20 years ago today marked the kickoff to one of the most epic preliminary bombardments to any campaign in history, and the world today knows it as shock and awe. And the crazy thing was that in the age of modern communications, we were able to watch in real time as Saddam Hussein learned that he was indeed vulnerable. He was vulnerable. As the might of the U.S. military pounded Iraq's Ba'ath Party headquarters and military targets and government installations all around Baghdad and surrounding areas, with precision-guided munitions that hit with devastating effect, shock and awe. The most commonly viewed scenes from shock and awe came from atop a tall building on the north side of the Tigris in Baghdad. And 1 year later, I was standing in that very spot where the cameras had captured the footage that showed the world what the U.S. can do when it gets its mind set on it. But as I thought about that bombardment, about the fact that we're on the anniversary of a 20-year campaign that kicked off then, it hit me that we're also on the anniversary of another situation as well. This is roughly the 21st anniversary of an epic battle that occurred in Afghanistan, one that has been forgotten by many, but yet one that shows that even more than the technological might that can put a guided missile on target in the dark of night, that we are a nation that also breeds warriors. In spite of everything that we conservatives get concerned about, wokeness in the military, strength on the international stage, will we be ready if China or Russia or Iran or North Korea or all of them decides that military action is finally their option? In spite of everything I just said and more, I still believe that America is a nation that breeds warriors. And in March of 2002, the Battle of Roberts Ridge showed that to be true, and we should not forget it. So the war in Afghanistan had just kicked off in the last days of 2001, and part of the initial effort was to find Osama bin Laden. The hunt created what became known as Operation Anaconda in the Tora Bora Mountains. For the first part of the operation, Task Force 1-1, made up mostly of ground force of Rangers, pursued al-Qaeda and Taliban forces, but in the early March of 2002, much of that mission was assigned over to members of SEAL Team 6. Two platoons of SEALs, call signs Mako 30 and Mako 31, were tasked to set up observation posts on the high ground surrounding what was called the Shahi Kote Valley to target the enemy and to call in airstrikes. Mako 30 was assigned the mission of setting up on top of a mountain called Takur Gar. The intelligence was faulty going in, with estimates of only a few hundred demoralized Taliban fighters in and around the valley. Yeah, right. But this was a stronghold that the Soviets had been bloodied in more than once. It was filled with caves and rough terrain, and Mako 30 took fire the minute their Chinook helicopter entered the area around the landing zone. Light and heavy automatic weapons fire riddled the chopper, and one RPG then entered the fuselage, blew out all the electricals and the ramp hydraulics, and as the Chinook was slewing in the air, SEAL Petty Officer First Class Nathan Roberts was thrown out the back, landing 30 feet down. The aircraft was out of control, and it wound up crash landing nearly 4 miles away. With a second aircraft making a rescue operation, still took over an hour, and when the members of Mako 30 came under fire immediately upon approach once again to the mountain trying to rescue Roberts. In the interim, though, drone footage had showed that Roberts had activated his emergency strobe, but that 40 enemy fighters rushed in on him. AC-130 gunships, F-16s, and Predator drones pounded a well-dug-in enemy force, but enemy resolve was high, and once again the second Chinook, bringing the SEALs of Mako 30 into the fight, it was disabled, and it came down hard on the ledges of Takur Gar. Eventually, joined by a quick reaction force of 35 Rangers, the battle at Takur Gar, known by many now as the Battle of Roberts Ridge, became one of the deadliest and longest-running battles of the war, with U.S. forces engaging the enemy in a continuous 17-hour gunfight that several times devolved into hand-to-hand combat. Among the numerous citations for heroism in that fight were two Medals of Honor, and one of those was for Air Force Combat Controller Tech Sergeant John Chapman. Chapman's heroism on the ground in personal combat with the enemy resulted in numerous enemy taken out by his own actions in ground combat. But Chapman also called in airstrikes, sometimes at danger close spacing, with great precision. At some point in the fight, though, Chapman received what were thought by his comrades to be mortal wounds. But that was not the end of Chapman's story. The U.S. troops at Roberts Ridge eventually pounded the enemy into submission in the March of 2002, but extraction was not possible. It was actually delayed by leaders back at Bagram Air Base, who deemed the site too hot to conduct another helicopter operation for medevac until night fell. Meanwhile, the combat medics were doing all they could on the ground, but at least one member of the force died while waiting for his medevac. But in what became one of the most infamous and heroic stories of the war, in the fog and the confusion of a nighttime extraction, Tech Sergeant Chapman, presumed dead at the time, was left behind. Neither Chapman nor Roberts' bodies were ever recovered, and if you know anything about the creed of the U.S. military, we don't sit well with the idea of leaving a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy. Chapman's heroics posthumously earned him the Air Force Cross, initially. That's the second highest award for valor in the Air Force. But over time, a story began to leak out. Over time, the narrative began to change, and at some point, the story was confirmed that over a half hour after the U.S. troops had been evac'd, that overhead surveillance footage indicated that there was one man alone in hostile territory, still fighting the enemy by himself. Drone footage indicates that for over an hour, that Chapman was on the ground alone. Wow. Continuing to take out enemy fighters who eventually closed in on his position. In 2018, after several years of pushing the story upward, President Trump presented Sergeant John Chapman's widow with the Medal of Honor. At the ceremony, Trump said, quote, "In this final act of supreme courage, John gave his life for his fellow warriors. Through his extraordinary sacrifice, John helped save more than 20 American service members." But it was the words of Tech Sergeant John Chapman himself that says the most. As his chopper came down, it is said that Chapman rushed off the ramp into overwhelming enemy fire and almost immediately dispatched two enemy fighters himself. And as he hunkered down to begin calling for air support, his ground force commander, now retired Colonel Ken Rodriguez, relates that Chapman yelled, "There is the danger. It's directly in front of me. If that doesn't stop, everyone will die." And Rodriguez told reporters, "John's actions saved all of us." So, yeah, I get concerned about wokeness. And I wonder sometimes if the next generation has what it takes. But history, not so distant history, tells me with unequivocal force that America still breeds warriors, warriors who will rise to the occasion. Like the Battle of Roberts Ridge, 21 years ago this month. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that happened 20 and 21 years ago this month. And I was actually there, coming through into Afghanistan around the time this Tora Bora mission was happening at Takur Gar. I still have, by the way, and I've told it before, I have a 105 shell that a Spectre gunner gave me that was fired in Operation Anaconda in March of 2002, and I have no way of knowing if it was fired on the Battle of Roberts Ridge. But nonetheless, that's a battle that's worth remembering. Look it up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Many thanks to the many of you who are already texting in. I appreciate the birthday wishes. Thank you so much for that. I am honored. And got a couple, too, about the monologue. Today being the 20th anniversary of Shock and Awe and the beginning of the invasion of Iraq. On top of that, though, just a year prior to that, 20 years almost to the day of the Battle of Roberts Ridge in Afghanistan. By the way, there were two medals of honor that came out of that one fight. When you consider that the one fight had roughly a right at 40 men in it, 40 of hours, and two of those got medals of honor, silver stars, bronze stars, purple hearts left and right. And then a number of deaths. It was an epic fight, and it was truly an indication to the Taliban that, yeah, they can inflict casualties, but by God, we can take a mountain down about 4 feet, and they did. Boomer.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Oh no.
Over the weekend, I got to where I was fourth in our bracket.
You did.
March Madness.
All right, Phil.
It is March Madness. They named it right.
They did.
I am now 41st.
I remember we were texting back and forth. And you go, I am fourth. oh, wait, now I'm 41st.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, when I texted you, I think I dropped to 21st.
Oh, that's what it was. It was 21st.
And then I woke up this morning, and I was 41st. I was like, what
I'm
the
not
heck?
Even going to speak where I'm at. I'm
hey,
at like
Boomer,
80,
where are you at?
83rd. A whopping 83.
But what's funny is...
Oh, man.
The lovely McQueen.
She's
where
in,
is she?
She is in fifth. And she's in fifth place with five others right now. And she just texts in and goes, yeah, no need to overthink it, guys. Just choose them based on their colors.
That one's pretty. I'll pick that
oh,
one.
Man.
And they win. Oh. Well, you know what? Fine.
Fine. No, this is a blast because it is. It's a little addicting going through and you're like, that team won. What did I pick?
We got a ton of right side ruffians in this bracket right
now. I love
it. Who's leading out right now?
Brian. So I don't know which Brian that is, but there's Brian with a lot of numbers. And then... Bruce is in the lead as well with Brian, and then we got
tied. Okay.
Yep. And then there's a tie for third as well, and it's Elisa and Chris.
Wow. Where's Brandy from Athens? Because she was killing it for a while there.
Yeah.
Where
did
she
Brandy
now?
Go?
I see Badger too. Badger's in 13th.
Yep.
Uh-huh. What other names do we know?
Brandy is now in 30th.
She's 30. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. She was just rocking it. I know it, rocking it for a while there. All right. I got somebody texting in right here. Barry from Fultondale says, what's the name of the battle you just spoke of? I'd like to learn about the bravery of that Ranger. Mm. Yeah, there were a bunch of Rangers. Thanks, Barry, for asking. It's the Battle of Roberts Ridge. You can also sometimes find it as the Battle of Takur Gar. That's spelled Takur, next word, Ghar. But yeah, most folks, you just Google the Battle of Roberts Ridge, and it was in March of 2002. The guy you're talking about, he was not actually a Ranger. He was Air Force Special Operations. He was a combat controller named John Chapman. John Chapman. And then I believe the SEAL that died because because he fell out of the back of the chopper when they were on their way in the first time. His name was I believe Nathan Roberts, Petty Officer First Class Nathan Roberts. So, yeah, a SEAL and an Air Force combat controller, but there were a bunch of Rangers and Army Special Operations Aviation guys that died and were in the mix. But anyway, Paul from Huntsville just texted in and said, I was a Rockasan. Hey, he was a Rockasan. That's the 101st Airborne guys. He said, I was a Rockasan, Bravo Company, 1st of the 187th Infantry in Afghanistan for Operation Anaconda and Operation Mountain Lion. I remember seeing officers, he says, coming from watching that unfold via drone, and a lot of grown men were visibly shaken. I bet that's true, man. Thanks for your service, Paul. Appreciate that very much. Leanne from Huntsville, she says, me and McQueen gonna win. Yeah, apparently it's ladies' day on the bracket right now.
It is. Little man asked me, hey, why didn't I get to do one with you, Dad? I'm like, oh, sorry, dude, next time. He said, I would have picked it all by the animals.
The mascots. And he probably would have won.
He probably would have won.
What if they didn't have an animal?
Oh, then I would have made, helped him figure it out.
Like, what's a Boilermaker?
That's true. I'd be like, or maybe then it would be the color. I'd be like, which one do you like?
All right. Hey, listen, more texts are coming in. Brian from Huntsville just says, not me. I'm Vault Brian sitting at 45. Hey, listen, coming up right after this break, Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in. We're going to talk to him about military readiness. He's a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. You're going to want to hear that one, and we'll take it straight from there into the first part of the Triple Dipper, Fit to Fight. Where are we as a military? What's going on in the world? Good Lord, we'll talk about it.